All right, it's exciting to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers in round two of the playoffs. It's been a while. First, it was 7 years not even making it to the postseason, and we know what this means. This is just part of the journey for the Los Angeles Lakers. We shouldn't be overly impressed with the Lakers beating the Portland Trail Blazers. 131-122, the final score. So Lakers obviously now await either the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Houston Rockets, but initially you just got to take care of business. And I know it wasn't the cleanest game for the Los Angeles Lakers, certainly on the defensive side, the way the Lakers have been playing defense on the Portland Trail Blazers throughout the first round. This wasn't ideal. They gave up 68 points in the first half. You give up 122 points to a Portland Trail Blazers team without Damian Lillard. But here's the reality for the Lakers. You just want to get through it. And I think tonight, that's what this game felt like. It felt like I don't know if we thought the Lakers were just going to come out. Maybe we did. Maybe that was our expectation. Come out, take care of business, call it a day. Hopefully by the end of the first half, you had this game in hand. That wasn't the case. It actually did come down. It was a 9-0 stretch that the Lakers went in deep in the fourth quarter behind Anthony Davis and LeBron James that really put this game in distance. But I think at the end of the day, all you can ask for from this Lakers team, handle business. Round one is over. You could now start paying attention to who that second round matchup is going to be. And frankly, I think some of the takeaways I take away from this specific series is we know that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to take over in a lot of these games for the Lakers. They're really going to carry this team. I think that question mark that's still out there is who are some of the other players that you can rely on a game-in, game-out basis, not just on the offensive side, too. I know I spent a lot of time, and this is just natural for us to look at how somebody's production is from an offensive perspective. But how about this in tonight's game? 7 steals between KCP and Alex Caruso. So when I talk about some of the other things, some of these other role players, how they can be more impactful on a night-in, night-out basis, that's a perfect example right there. It's a great example of watching Lakers basketball and seeing that how can you contribute? Just find ways to contribute. Because I will tell you this, and I don't need to remind anybody out there, but as you get to that second round, you're going to have to play better basketball. You're going to have to be cleaner on a more consistent basis. You're going to definitely, from a defensive standpoint, be more consistent. Have players step up on a more consistent basis. I would say that's just kind of the theme right now for the Lakers is as we move on and we get further down, further into the postseason, you know, your opponents are going to be better. You know, the coaching is going to improve. You know, your margin for error becomes a lot smaller. So certainly still a lot of things that the Lakers can do a better job on. But at least for tonight, you can give them also a little bit of credit and say, all right, well, they handled business. They took care of it and they can move from there. As always, as we do every Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show, we open up the phone lines. 877-710-ESPN. If you're out driving around right now or you're listening on the ESPN app, be a part of the postgame show. We'll continue to talk about the Lakers handling business in round one against the Blazers, and then we'll also look forward to the Lakers coming up against either the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Houston Rockets. By the way, Houston has a 3-2 lead, blew out Oklahoma City earlier today. We'll find out what happens in Game 6. Game 6, by the way, will be on Monday, and we'll find out if Dennis Schroeder, if he will play in that game, and P.J. Tucker, if he'll play. Both of those were in a little we're not going to call it a fight, but both of those two got heated and both were ejected out of the game. We'll start off with Eric in L.A. Eric, thank you for calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. What'd you think of tonight's game, buddy?
Well, tonight it was obvious they came out complacent. They looked disinterested at times, and it was in that fourth where they turned it up, and fortunately we were able to come out with a win.
But Eric, how disappointing would that have been if they didn't take care of business tonight? They had to come back on Monday. So I'm with you on all that. They definitely didn't come out in this game. Michael and I talked about in the pregame show. Can they just, you know, take control in the first half so then they wouldn't have to worry about it? That wasn't the case, but at least the series is over.
Right. Well, and you're playing with fire when you play like that. And moving forward, you know, playing against better competition, I don't foresee, or at least I don't hope the Lakers continue to play like that. One thing, Alan, I want to see more, and we don't see enough.
Okay.
And it's not just specific to this game. Throughout the whole year, we have not seen the LeBron James AD pick and roll enough throughout the season. AD, who I think is the best rolling big man in the game, not to mention he can pick and pop, as evidenced by that game five where he had like four in a row. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be LeBron with AD. Just involve AD more in the pick and roll. You know, why make it harder on yourself by constantly ISOing, you know, and seemingly when it's LeBron James 80 pick and roll, they're always getting good shots. Less ISO, more 80 pick and roll moving forward is what I say.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for the call, bud. Let me squeeze in a couple quick calls here. Sky and Ventura, appreciate you calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. What did you think of tonight's game?
You know, I didn't really get to watch it, but I heard a lot of it on the radio.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah, AD really came through for us. You know, they a lot of people have been saying that he doesn't come through for us in the fourth. I think he shut up a lot of haters tonight, and looking forward to Houston in the second round so he can prove himself to be the real defensive player of the year.
You know what it is, too, Sky? I'll tell you this. For those who do talk about Anthony Davis, and I appreciate you calling into the postgame show, for those who do talk about Anthony Davis, it's just because the expectation is so high. You know, he's such a skilled basketball player. When people say top five in the NBA, when Michael Thompson says, I don't want to hear any more about what he's doing offensively, how about what he's doing on the defensive side? Many thought should have got defensive player of the year, even though it went to Giannis Antetokounmpo. That to me is what, you know, when AD gets criticism, it's simply because the expectations are he has to deliver every night because he's that good. So I wouldn't take that criticism as a bad thing. I think that's just the expectation that's there. And look, for Anthony Davis, we know this much. He's never been past the second round. But he's also never been in this type of position where he's playing with an all-time great like LeBron James. He's playing on a team that's surrounded with veterans and champions that have won chips before. And I'm talking about JaVale McGee and Danny Green and Rondo. Go down the list. This is his best opportunity to win an NBA championship. So if there is criticism towards Anthony Davis and he shuts them up in the first round, 43 points, 9 rebounds, 14 of 18 from the field, it's not like that's going to change in the second round or the Western Conference Finals. It's always going to be there. But that's the expectation you have for greats. That's the expectation that you're typically looking for some of the best to do it in the NBA. Look at LeBron James. LeBron, there's times LeBron had a triple-double tonight, 36, 10, and 10. And there are times I don't even talk about LeBron because he does it so often that there's no conversation to be had. So I'm okay when AD gets criticism because as we get deeper in the postseason, you're hoping his play only gets better as well. I want to give a quick shout-out to the Wallace Firm, official personal injury law firm of the Lakers postgame show all season long here on 710 ESPN. They are serious trial lawyers who get serious results. Let them help you get the W. No win, no fee. Call them today at 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. When we come back, we'll take more of your guys' phone calls. We'll also hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers basketball on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Metro. Metro continues to strengthen cleaning on our buses and trains with added services to help maintain social distancing for your essential trips. Learn more at metro.net/we're here for you. Lakers over the Blazers, 131-122. All right, let's move on to the second round. That's enough. Lakers handle business. They do exactly what they're expected to do. You know, we talked about this after they lost game one. It was, well, don't be impressed when they tied up the series 1-1. Don't be impressed. They go up 2-1, 3-1. You're supposed to handle business against the Blazers. Lakers certainly did that after losing the first game. And, of course, no Damian Lillard tonight. All right, couple more phone calls here. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Joseph, who's listening on the app, calling all the way out from the Philippines. Thank you for being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. This is Joseph from the Philippines. I've been a diehard fan of the Lakers since 2003, back then when it was KCAL 9 and Fox Sports West.
Oh, yeah.
And the commentators were Chickern and Paul Sutherland competing for the Lakers on the local for the Southern California region. And
Joseph, what did you think? What did you think of tonight's game?
It was nerve-wracking because closeout games are very, very hard as we speak, Alex Liva. Honestly, remember, I'm not sure if you were there in 2012. Bynum saying closeout games are kind of easy. That is false. Closeout games are the hardest, just like today.
Joseph, thank you. Thank you for calling, bud. I appreciate it. I want to squeeze in another quick call. We have people calling all the way out from the Philippines. Tony in L.A., thank you for calling in, bud. What did you think of tonight's game?
Well, I have a bold statement I want to make.
Let's hear it.
AD, he did something today that he hasn't done. I've never seen. He dribbled the ball. He distributed. The bold statement I want to make is this. If he actually dribbles the ball up and down the court and distributes like he does now, he would be the best player on the planet. Can you get a message to him through Michael Thompson or somebody to keep dribbling and distributing? It makes it impossible to guard him.
Tony, I appreciate you calling in. All right, dribbling and distributing, and I got to pass that on to Michael Thompson. I'm on it. I'm on it, Tony. Let's take a second here to listen to head coach Frank Vogel. Lakers handle business. They end the series. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on the 131-122 victory and the elimination game against the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey, Frank, the collective efficiency from LeBron and AD in this one, just how would you evaluate their performance, not just in Game 5, but for the season?
Two of the best players in the game, rising to the challenge in a closeout game, both delivering special performances. And, you know, obviously we don't win the game without them doing what they did tonight.
Frank, I know you have the likely almost a week or perhaps a little bit shorter, and you don't know who you're going to play yet in the next round. How would you just evaluate your defense and your team in general after these five games and the points where you think you need to sharpen up before your next matchup?
I was very impressed with how we committed to the defensive end the first four games. You know, this team is posting an offensive rating of 124, which would be the best offensive rating in the history of the game. And for the first four games, you know, our defense was as sharp as it's been all year. You know, their offensive rating was around 100 or under. You know, some of the fourth quarter blowouts factored into that, but you know, we performed at an extremely high level on the defensive end in this series. Obviously, it slipped some tonight. You know, different type of mental challenge with Dame being out and whatnot. But overall, very excited about where that's at, and you know, whoever we play in the next round, you know, will be a different challenge entirely.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. Coming into the series, there was so much talk about how hot of an opponent the Blazers were. You just mentioned their offensive rating. Obviously, they went 6-2 in the seeding round. They won game one. And you talked about, and others talked about, how it'd be an opportunity to sharpen your own game. How do you feel like you guys got better this series?
Well, you know, it's tough to have a defensive plan where you have to double as much as we had to double in this series. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, both corralling the man on the ball and committing and covering things on the backside. And, you know, we prefer not to double when it's, you know, when we don't have to. By doing so, as much as we did in this series, it really sharpened us to make sure we're covering all those areas. So, you know, I think it definitely improved us. And knowing what they're capable of kept the sense of urgency throughout the series. And, you know, we said coming into this that if we're able to beat the Blazers, that you know, them being such a powerhouse offense is going to help us in later rounds, and hopefully that's the case.
Allie? Calhoun?
Frank, how much would you sort of sense that maybe some of the emotion of the last couple of days, or maybe even exhaustion of the last couple of days, maybe fatigue, contributed to maybe just not having that sharpness tonight?
Maybe a little bit, you know, but I don't really feel like we didn't have a mental edge. You know, I just think we were facing a different opponent. You know, when a team loses a guy like Dame Lillard, it just changes their whole dynamic offensively. And, you know, everybody else gets more shots, more minutes, more touches, and more confidence. You know, so, you know, it was just a different type of defensive challenge. I felt like we worked extremely hard on that end of the floor, and you know, I don't know if the last couple of days was a big factor.
It's kind of been a theme, it seems like, in the series of LeBron getting AD, so to speak, on offense. Did you see that tonight?
I did see it in the second half. I know AD had a big big first quarter, didn't really get going in the second. And, we wanted to get him going a little bit early in the third. I thought Bron did a great job of that. But honestly, AD did a lot of it himself as well. You know, both of those guys rose to the challenge. They elevated their play. And obviously, AD having a huge, I think, 30-point second half, 31-point second half, something like that, was a factor of both. You know, LeBron getting him involved, getting him going a little bit, and then AD just asserting himself.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. It is an interesting game where I thought that one point on coach saying that he felt like he was playing a different team because Damian Lillard's not in there. So, yeah, guys that had nothing to lose at the end of the day, I think was most important. I think Laker fans would agree with this. It wasn't pretty, but at least you got the win. Move on. That's 4 games out of 5 against the Blazers. 131-122 the final score. When we come back, let's hear from Alex Caruso. Caruso had 4 steals tonight. Active, just like he always is in every game, giving as much energy as possible, and was rewarded with 4 steals tonight. We'll hear from Caruso coming up next. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated, and with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers over the Blazers, 58-46, as far as points in the paint goes. 131-122 the final score in this game, and 4-1 in round 1 of the playoffs. So, good night for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to get to Alex Caruso. I did mention his stat line. Let me read this off, because I think Laker fans always appreciate Alex Caruso. Only 7 points, but 4 steals. He had a possession where I think he saved an inbound, and then he came and stole. I mean, he's all over the court, and I think you're going to see his value, continue to see his value, especially as we get into round 2, most likely against the Houston Rockets. Here's Alex Caruso on his performance and the Lakers win.
Hey, Alex, it's been a historic NBA week, obviously, and what were some of your thoughts and feelings over the last few days?
Yeah, a lot of emotions, just trying to decipher what's best for yourself, best for the team, best for general population of humanity. So it's there's a lot of things that have gone on over the past couple of days that, you know, from people from different perspectives that have different ideas and different opinions of what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Thankful that, you know, we have the maturity in our league and the leadership to get things done and to do it the right way. And thankful that we still have the opportunity to play now.
Alex, what are some of the things you remember about the past few days, years down the road?
Kind of what I was just talking about, you know, just a collective group of different people from different areas and different backgrounds that are all working towards one goal, you know, the goal of equality and systematic change of old practices and old ways that can't stand anymore. And, the things I'll remember is just how, we had the whole bubble together in a ballroom talking. And I think that's the first time anything like that has ever happened in the league history. So just the unity, you know, even with differentiating opinions at times, you know, the unity we showed as a league to come back and stand together.
Moving to the court in tonight's game, it wasn't easy for you guys. You pulled away at the end, but LeBron and AD combined for 79 points. How would you describe their effort tonight?
They're still really good at basketball, for anybody who was wondering. LeBron kind of carried us in the first half with his scoring when we really didn't have it going offensively or defensively, for that matter. You know, we were just kind of low energy. So, that's what he does. He is who he is, and thankful for him to be a part of our team. Luckily, we came along in the second half and started to play with some more energy and a little bit a little bit better sense of urgency. And then, you know, him and AD, that's what they do down the stretch. They close out games.
Hey, Alex, you know, the other part of the conversation I think that's been brought out over the last week or so is the aspect of mental health and just the stress of being in the bubble. What has the experience been like for you, just from a mental standpoint, being that way?
Yeah, man, it's been tough. You know, a lot of people think when they hear the word bubble that, you know, we're kind of living and they hear NBA, they think we're living like the lavish life that we're used to outside of the game. And it really hasn't been that, you know, it hasn't been terrible. I don't want to come off as unappreciative at all because they've done a lot to get us set up and done a great job. But, you know, it takes a toll on you. You got a pretty confined space in a hotel room. And then, honestly, if we didn't have such a good group of guys and coaches and organization that loves hanging out and being around each other, it'd probably be a lot tougher. But it hasn't been normal. And that's part of the factor that went into when we talked about coming here, it was going to be a different challenge to win an NBA championship. And that kind of factors into it. Luckily for me, I got great teammates, great support system, my family and friends that keep me going strong.
All right, that's Alex Caruso right there. Love listening to him too, because he's going to be so honest, so upfront about, you know, certainly his thoughts, his opinion. We got a chance to talk to him on Lakers Talk a couple days ago. He is as honest as they come, and a nice performance from him tonight. We're saving here Anthony Davis. He's coming up next. AD, for all those that are just tuning in now, 43 points for Anthony Davis tonight, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 14 of 18 from the field. This is what we expect Anthony Davis to do as we get further along in the playoffs. But in a clinching game, in a game to clinch round one, AD comes through. He's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. There's also no more time to waste on hearing from Anthony Davis on his personal performance and the Lakers' performance tonight, ending round one of the playoffs against the Portland Trailblazers. Here's AD.
Obviously, it was kind of a grind. It was a finish game, close-up game. What factors do you think led to the slow start? Were there any off the court, and what got you going in this game?
They're a good team. You know, they compete. No matter who they have out there, they're going to compete. You know, they didn't get this far, so they just give up. And we knew that. And close-up games are already tough. But we just try to keep fighting. You know, God missed a lot of shots early that we normally make, but, you know, we just kept pushing. I mean, our defense was kind of slow. Everything was too easy for them in the first half, especially CJ and Melo, too. And, you know, Coach kind of got after us at halftime, and Coach just picked it up a little bit. And, you know, after that, we were able to come down the second half and compete.
What do you think you guys learned about yourselves throughout the course of this game, from game one, where you're working on offensive issues to now, just the evolution of what you're doing? We play basketball, running in transition, playing great defense, getting stops, running in transition, playing for each other, playing scrappy, and then we're a tough team to beat.
First game, we didn't lock into our defensive coverages, especially late game. You know, we wasn't making shots, we wasn't running, we wasn't being scrappy, and we, you know, ultimately lost. You know, that led to a loss for us, and we picked it up games 2-5, and was able to win. So, you know, we know we're a tough team to beat. We know we're a great team, and we just got to play that way every night.
Okay, I think we'll throw back to Tanisha.
Okay, we'll go with Dave McMenamin.
Hey, Anthony, could you take us through the last few days for you? Did you expect to be able to play basketball tonight? Did you question at any point? And did you feel like that process did anything for your guys as a team, you guys as a team?
And emotions been very high. And the process was, you know, up and down. I don't think no one really expected to play. I'm not the same Milwaukee, but, you know, obviously we met a couple times and felt like our platform is bigger here to get out what we need to get out in the media. And we had some meetings with the owners, you know, and some players to try to figure out, you know, if we do continue to play, you know, what our demands are. And we're able to get that sorted out and, you know, decide to play. We had the owner's word you know, that they were going to do their part. So, and, you know, we started seeing, you know, change stuff start coming out, you know, about opening arenas for voting sites. So, you know, the things that we control that we want to get out there to do our part while we're here in the bubble has been moving forward. And so for that, we decided to play. You know, but I say that it was a lot of up and down emotions, especially with our team. We just didn't know what we wanted to do at that point. You know, but we had a couple of meetings ourselves and came together and thought, you know, playing would be a good option as well.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there. I think for everybody, an interesting couple of days. Lakers were supposed to play Game 5 on Wednesday. Obviously got pushed to Saturday, and I'm sure there were times where many didn't know if we were even going to have any more playoff basketball. That's Anthony Davis. That's part of his 43 points, 9 rebounds. How about LeBron James, who I have probably not spent nearly enough time talking about in this postgame show? He just had a triple-double, 36, 10, and 10. Here's LeBron James post-game on the Lakers' 9-point win over the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey, LeBron, if we could start with a hoops question tonight. You know, you and AD combined for almost 80 points on 75% from the field. Just wondering how you guys have clicked so quickly to this level starting early in the season, and what's the key on the offensive side of the floor for you and AD in the balance that you guys have found?
Well, as two of the leaders of the team, we just try to do whatever, you know, it takes both offensively and defensively to help our team win on every given night. And we know we're going to get the majority of the looks, but at the same time, we just want to be efficient with our looks. We don't want to take bad shots. We want to get great shots. And I think tonight was one of those instances where we didn't settle much. When we had our shot, we had our drives. We took it, got to the free throw line, him a little bit more than myself. But I'm just being very efficient and being very conscientious of how we play ball and playing Laker basketball. And that's been from the beginning, as you mentioned. And our chemistry, both on the floor and off the floor, has just grown over the course
of time. And LeBron, moving off the court, of course, you saw the news about the Lakers and opening Staples Center for voting. You have your More Than a Vote cause that you've been very active with. How have all those things come to mean something in terms of action, which seems like that was what you were looking for when the league missed the games, the hiatus, the whatever you want to call it, the last couple of days?
It means everything. It means everything. You know, and to know that Staples Center is going to be a polling site for voting is unbelievable, and it's something that we need. It's something that we not only need in Los Angeles, but in a lot of our NBA cities. Trying to get you know, all 30 franchises and all 30 NBA arenas to open up. But at the same time, even with the Laker relationship with the Dodgers, we get the Dodger Stadium as well. And we're going to have some other arenas and stadiums, and hopefully before, you know, November. So, you know, kudos to Staples Center. Kudos to the Lakers organization. And I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Okay, we'll take a couple here. Taylor?
Hey, Ron, so obviously you guys win this series, you're going to the second round, but you still don't know who you're going to play. So walk me through your preparation. What do you do tonight? What do you do tomorrow to get ready?
I won't get ready for the next round until I think game 6 of that round is on Monday, correct? Tonight I'll decompress. I'll get away from the game tomorrow as well, but I'll watch the games. And then, you know, on Monday, you'll watch the game, see what happens. If Houston goes on to win, then I'll begin to lock in on my next opponent. If OKC goes to win, then it gives me a few more hours to kind of, you know, stay away from it as well. So, you know, just kind of waiting to see what happens with the series. But at the same time, I'm going to watch the rest of the games. The rest of the playoffs have been very good. But for me personally, I won't lock back in until I know exactly who we're going to play.
Tanya
Gengui?
On Thursday, the timeline of events, I think, was that you guys as a group decided that you wanted to continue playing and then talked to the owners later that day. And I'm wondering, what gave you the confidence, first of all, that the owners would give you guys what you wanted that would make you feel comfortable going back to play? And then also, are you prepared to take some kind of action if they don't stick to their word, if they don't do what they promised
them? Well, for me personally, you know, having a plan is one, and then having action, and then and going through with that, and the you know, to be able to sit with a call with our owners, and for them to hear how important some of these initiatives are. They took it very seriously. They were very candid. We were very candid on what we believe continues to move the needle in our respective cities, in our communities, and how important this this moment is. So all you can do is give me and give us your word, and I'm gonna hold that with the utmost respect. And if the word that you've given me is not fulfilled, then we'll tackle that moment. But I don't think it.
Okay, Joe Barton? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
You just said what you said to Tanya, and then I listened to your interview immediately on the court there with Jared, and you're talking a lot about having a plan. I mean, we know that when Milwaukee decided not to come out of the locker room, they actually didn't have one. How frustrating or upsetting was that to you in the moment that it took place that way without having a plan for kind of like an end game?
Wasn't upset at all. You know, obviously, Milwaukee did what they did. And as a brotherhood, you know, we call it a brotherhood. We still in solidarity with them. You know, and they, you know, we knew what they were doing it for. With the recent events that happened in Wisconsin, which hit home for them, there was no there was just no knowledge of when they were going to do it or if they were going to do it. Obviously, they didn't know. They said it took it that it took them forever to kind of figure it out and say that they weren't going to go out there. So I'm not here to judge or categorize what Milwaukee did, but I said, like, we all stood with them from OKC to Houston to our game, obviously, that didn't play. And then from that point on, my mind began to figure out what is the plan going forward. And if we don't have a plan, then what are we talking about? Why are we still here? You know, and that's where my mind went to. And, you know, at one point there was no plan of going forward. There was no plan of action. And me personally, I'm not that type of guy. I'm not a guy who, one, doesn't have a plan and then is not ready to act on it as far as action. So, you know, we had a couple of days to kind of figure it out.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. And certainly, you know, I think for everybody, certainly around the NBA, an interesting couple of days. But where we landed tonight was basketball. Basketball was back. So they had 3 games today, 3 games tomorrow. Obviously now the Lakers wait. They wait to see who they play in the second round. 131-122, the final score for tonight. 4-1 over the Portland Trailblazers for tonight. Keep an eye out on the rest of the NBA and specifically Monday, because that's when we're going to find out between the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. If Houston wins Game 6 on Monday, it will be the Lakers and the Rockets in Round 2. If Oklahoma City can force a Game 7, we'll have to wait a few more days. As always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in to the Pizza Hut Lakers post-game show. Make sure you stay tuned with us. Certainly on Monday, we'll continue all the local conversation. This has been the Pizza Hut Lakers post-game show on 710 ESPN.